Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Craig Pearson is a digital forensic practitioner and a cybercrime investigator. He joins us this morning. Good morning. How are you doing?
Good morning. How good are yourself, sir?
I am well, thank you. So how serious is this, is cybercrime in terms of our cell phone software specifically?
Well, it's a really big problem in South Africa. We have a number of challenges. Foremostly, when suspects are caught in these matters, it is very difficult to get them before the court. Our courts are not really aligned yet for the prosecution of cybercrime. It is happening. We do have a new cybercrimes bill, which has been enacted, but it will probably take another 2 to 3 years before it's functional and we actually see cases rolling through court. Until then, it can be quite complex from a prosecution perspective to take these cases to court. The vulnerabilities in South Africa, well, they're pretty much the same worldwide, although we do find that in South Africa, people tend to be a little bit lax with their IT security.
Are we more lax on our cell phones than with our computers for some reason?
Oh, definitely. People tend to work on their cell phones all day, every day.
Right.
We're using them, we're making calls, we're getting messages. We're used to getting quite a volume of spam on our phones. And unfortunately, people are very used to getting memes, arbitrary links to click on. It gets quite complex because the more of those you're working with, the more chance that something's going to slip through the net.
Right. So, because we're busy. We're busy doing a million things. So somebody sends us something, we don't really think about it. I guess we're more trained to think about it when it comes to us via an email.
Exactly. People are getting kind of used to the fact that when you use your email, you need to be a little bit cautious of what you're doing, what you click on. You've also got the benefit of antivirus and anti-malware on most computers, where we find that very few users actually take the time to load antivirus and anti-malware software onto their phones, and there are apps for that.
Right. So what should we be doing? And does it differ, sorry, before we even go there, does it differ in terms of susceptibility with regard to Android versus the iPhones?
Ooh, okay, that's a tricky one. Effectively, yes. I would say that iPhones are always going to be a little bit more secure and a bit more robust than Android because of the way that the software is engineered. And you cannot write an app and put it onto an iPhone the same way and with the same simplicity that you can for Android. It must first pass the App Store and Apple's internal testing. So to get something malicious onto an iPhone, it does take quite a lot of work. Or obviously, if the user of the iPhone is jailbroken to get full access to the phone and its abilities, then they immediately become vulnerable. Whereas on Android, what we see is a lot of spoofing. Common thing is you get different cryptocurrency applications that you can download onto your cell phone to manage your cryptos. And we find people that have gone and reloaded their phones, and they are not paying proper attention when they download the app. And instead of downloading the correct app from the correct vendor, they download a lookalike. And obviously, as soon as they log in, they put in their user codes, and they confirm everything, well, their cryptocurrency is gone.
Wow.
So that is quite a risk.
Right. So that's in terms of which phone is perhaps more susceptible than the other. Now that we assume that all phones are susceptible, what is it that we should be doing?
Well, foremostly, you should have some sort of anti-malware, antivirus program or application that runs on your cell phone. A lot of the vendors that make these programs for your laptop and your normal computer actually have paid applications. It only costs a few rand more to have the matching application for your phone. That's the first. Second thing is we still find people who are not locking their phones, who do not have PIN code locks or facial recognition locks, swipe code. And what happens is the phone then gets stolen and somebody just logs into their banking and transfers their funds away. Yeah, in this day and age, it's pretty irresponsible not to have a locking code on your phone, as inconvenient as it may be. But you have a lot of sensitive data in that phone. We've seen instances where people's phones have been stolen, the phones have been unlocked, and intimate photos that they've taken with their other halves are suddenly spread about and disseminated to people in their WhatsApp groups.
Right.
So you've got to lock the device. And then the final step is beware of any hyperlinks, especially those coming in via WhatsApp and SMS. You have to think before you click. If you tap on that link, and the vulnerability is more prevalent in Android, but if you tap on that link and it's malicious, well, it's going to load onto your cell phone and could be giving somebody proxy through your phone or access to the data on your phone.
Very, very scary. Is there a recommended app that is the preferred app for a cell phone?
I think a lot of it is down to personal preference. I prefer Malwarebytes on my devices because it's not really about viruses when it comes to phones. It's more about malicious activity, and I find that Malwarebytes and the Kaspersky suite do quite well for that. And you know, they're affordable to most people.
Right. And in fact, I've just gone whilst we were speaking, antivirus, because I've got Android, antivirus for Android, and that's the first one that comes up is the Kaspersky one. But I mean, there's really a lot to choose from.
There's quite a choice there. There's a wide variety. It's down to what you feel is going to be necessary and the level of security that you want.
Right.
You've got to make that decision, and obviously cost is also a factor as well.